Chapter 8, 1, Without a Word. In the same way, as Jesus, you wives be submissive to your own husbands, so that if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word. 1 Peter 3, verse 1. In this chapter, we will learn from God's word that since our husbands are over us, our words are not only useless, but may be dangerous. Many of us are now reaping bad fruits of unknowingly trying to persuade or warn our husbands instead of taking our concerns to God. We will learn that everything that you'd like to say to your husband, you must first talk to God about. When our husbands are doing something against God's word, we are told in Scripture to win our husbands without a word, with a respectful attitude toward them and their God-given authority over us. One without a word. When I am concerned about something, should I discuss it with my husband? No. Ask God to speak to your husband. We must not discuss our fears or concerns or even desires with our husbands. Instead, we must first go to the top. We must go to our Heavenly Father and appeal to Him. Ask God to have the Lord speak to your husband, since the Lord is directly over all men, about what is on your heart. This is the proper order of authority. It says, "But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of woman, and God is the head of Christ." 1 Corinthians 11:3. Instead of seeking your husband's help or guidance, you must seek the face of God. Then search the Scriptures for one of God's principles concerning the dilemma you face. This will confirm what the Lord has spoken to you in your heart. Mark that verse and then hold on to it, knowing that the Lord is in control. Get out of His way. Get out of His way. It says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night." That's from Psalm 1:1 in the NIV. Get out of your husband's way. You are not his authority. The second line tells us what we are to do. Meditate on His word and leave your husband to God. God must be the one to change your husband. Your husband can't even change himself. Stand in the way. It says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers." Psalm 1:1. When dealing with a husband who is disobedient to the word, there must be stages of letting go without a word. A woman whose husband is in the home but is not coming home on time or at all must let go of trying to police him through curfews, 20 questions, or the silent treatment. If a wife finds out that her husband is involved with another woman, she must let go by not following him or confronting him and use this time as a wake-up call, or she will push him into leaving or divorcing her. If at this stage he leaves and she continues to stand in his way rather than letting go, he will most likely push the divorce through, hoping that this will stop his wife's pursuits. However, if she still pursues, then you will see the man marry the other woman. If she still holds on rather than letting go, then you will most likely see a former husband in a very strong second marriage. I have personally known women whose husbands have remarried, yet who were still signing their husband's name to Christmas cards and thank you notes. In addition, with this distorted view of their situation, they have no qualms about continuing to be sexually intimate. Rarely do you see a divorce occur when a man is convinced that he can basically have two wives. Very often, a wife who won't let go will see her former husband and his new wife resort to having a child of their own, hoping this will discourage the ex-wife and make her let go. Some women write to me in a rage and anger against God because He did not close the other woman's womb. Yet, they neglect to acknowledge that they failed to follow the biblical principles of letting go and obtaining a gentle and quiet spirit. Occasionally, when a husband does divorce the other woman or second wife, he doesn't go back to his first wife, but instead searches for someone new to make him happy. For encouragement, please read the testimony at the end of chapter 11, asking God about a woman who humbly let her husband go, did not get angry at God, and found herself with a restored marriage after her husband had remarried. Get off his back and pray. You can help to heal your home by your prayers. It says, "Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another so that you might be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." That's from James 5:16. If you do speak, then it is very important that you choose your words carefully. turn through prayer alone your husband's direction to God. You must understand also that you are not responsible for what your husband does. He is accountable to God for his actions. It says, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lusts. That's from James 1:14. Close your mouth, then get out of your husband's way. Wives love to treat their husbands as if they were one of their own children. This type of mothering attitude will drive off any man and will drain the manliness out of him. Then when a woman comes along who looks to him as the man, he leaves his wife for the other woman. Have the proper attitude. It says, let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinances of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnations upon themselves. That's from Romans 13:1. Your husband is your God-ordained authority. Your rebellion to his authority has allowed your situation. Obey and submit now and watch God turn your husband's heart back home as you honor God's word. Overcome all evil with good. Your reaction to the evil when it occurs tells God, others who are watching, and your husband what is really in your heart. It says, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. That's from Romans 12:21. It will occur, but you can be prepared. It says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. That's from James 1:3. Take this opportunity to speak a blessing of kindness to your husband. It says, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. That's from 1 Peter 3, verse 9. If you agree with the insult or hurtful statement and then return a kind statement or blessing, this will turn your situation around in an instant. However, most women spend their energy defending themselves or discussing the issue. As they attempt to get their spouse to take his responsibility for what happened, they fail to see their situation improve. It says, he was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he does not open his mouth. That's from Acts 8:32. These are the women who email me wanting to know what is stopping their restoration. But when I hear their derogatory and condescending attitude, I know why. Can you humbly accept what I am saying? If you can, do you wonder why your husband has chosen to leave you? It says, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. Proverbs 14:1. For encouragement, please read the testimony at the end of chapter 11, asking God about a woman who humbly let her husband go, did not get angry at God, and found herself with a restored marriage after her husband remarried. Concentrate on loving the unlovable. When you love and respect your husband, even when he is unlovable, unkind, and in sin, you are showing him unconditional love. It says, for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even tax gatherers do the same? That's from Matthew 5:46. Give God your hurts. He will help you love your husband if you just ask him. The Ministry of Reconciliation. As children of God, we are to be ambassadors of God's love, and that will draw others to the Lord. It says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Christ gave us the ministry of reconciliation, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed the word of reconciliation. That's from 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20. Have you been counting? Do you rehearse your husband's sins and shortcomings in your mind as you reveal his trespasses to others? Remember, God's mercies are new every morning. Are yours? Our first mission field. Your attitude may be, why should I minister to my husband, the sinner? Because the Lord gives us our husbands and our children as our first mission field before we can truly be effective with others. We, of course, want to rush ahead of God before we are really ready and minister to those in the church, in the neighborhood, and at work, while we neglect to minister at home. If you haven't won your husband or children to the Lord, how can you win the lost? So many women act like victims having to live with an unbeliever, yet they are the very ones keeping their husbands or children from the Lord. A Pharisee who attends services and then acts arrogant and spiritual keeps the lost from wanting a relationship with the Lord. Is this you? God wants us to learn contentment before He'll change our husbands. If you are still whining and bemoaning your situation, then be prepared to stay in it. We can see in Paul's life, it says, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need." Paul goes on to say the verse you hear so often, "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." That's from Philippians 4:11-13. You will stay in difficulty until you have learned contentment in it, period. Uniquely created. Created for the man. Women, it is important that we seek the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding from God's Word to fully appreciate how we were created and why we were created. In 1 Corinthians 11:8-9, it says, "For man does not originate from woman, but woman from man. For indeed, man was not created for the woman's sake, but the woman for the man's sake." That's Genesis 2:20. As we begin to move into God's perfect plan for our lives, we then can live the abundant life God promises in His Word. Our lives will reflect God's Word rather than denying it. And most importantly, others will be drawn to Christ through the testimony of our lives. Helper suitable for Him. It says, "And the man gave names to all the cattle and the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him." These statements really get under the skin of feminists. Does it get under yours too? Woman independent of man. It says, "However, in the Lord, neither is woman independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as the woman originates from the man, so also the man has his birth through the woman. And all things originate from God." 1 Corinthians 11:11-12. God created men and women with different needs. The voids in our lives and in our husband's life create a type of working gear, or puzzle pieces, if you will. As we fill our voids ourselves or apart from our husbands, the gear slips. The more we fill our needs, or the more our husbands fill their needs independently from the marriage, our relationship slips until there is nothing left to hang on to. Feminists have pushed the majority of us to fulfill our own needs and let our husbands fend for themselves. We have believed the lie that it is not good to be dependent on each other. The coined phrase, codependent, encourages many to pull away instead of cherishing being one flesh. God created a void in each of us that only our spouse can or should fill. If being codependent is wrong, then how do you excuse this verse? It says, "However, in the Lord, neither is woman independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as the woman originates from the man, so also the man has his birth through the woman, and all things originate from God." 1 Corinthians 11:11-12. As Christians, we must renew our mind to line up with God's Word. God's Word is truth. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of the Lord is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." That's from Romans 12:2. Living the truth certainly will not be easy, and it will almost seem crazy at first to those who observe the change in you. But through obedience to His Word, we will soon understand and reap the rewards of our obedience. We as Christians obey and believe even when we don't see the change or understand the command. This is the faith we profess as believers. We have all experienced how the world's way has worn us out because we have tried to do something we weren't created to do and act in a way we were not designed to act. So let's look first at how and why we were created in the beginning. Many of us want to be such good helpers that we do everything for our husbands and actually rob him of blessings or rip the manliness out of him. We do. We make the decisions, do everything around the house and in the yard, and help provide part of the income. We then are surprised that with all his free time, he finds himself another woman who appears to need and really want him. Begin to look at the roles God created as special and unique. Ask the Lord for guidance and discernment in each task you are presently undertaking. If you have taken something your husband should be doing, pray that the Lord will change it. Many times it is some mini catastrophe that your husband must rescue you from that will bring about the change. But don't you cause a crisis on purpose. Wait for the Lord and stop manipulating. It doesn't matter if your husband is not in the home either. Hundreds of women have sought the Lord in this area to find their husbands taking over the finances, car maintenance or replacement, the yard, home repairs, etc. Never underestimate God. Personal commitment: to pray to our Father rather than to quickly speak to our husbands. Based on what I've learned from God's Word, I commit to allowing God to move my husband through His Holy Spirit. I will instead bathe all my desires and concerns in prayer by seeking His face. I acknowledge that the only way to win my husband to righteousness, especially in my present circumstances, is without a word and with my respectful and humble spirit. If you agree with this statement, date and sign your book. This is the end of chapter 8.